All right, y'all, you're locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is Crossover Thursday, where I will be joined by the host of Locked On Browns, Jeff Lloyd and Garrett Bush, to preview this week 4 matchup between the Browns and Atlanta Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. And today's Locked On Falcons is a Crossover Thursday presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is fun. It's easy to play. There's no competing with other players. It's just you versus the projections. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players. And if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It literally can take less than 60 seconds to enter. It's that easy. We love Prize Picks and we know you will love it too. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So, guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day, Monday through Friday. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available on a variety of podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, and of course, here on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube. Hit that bell, give us a like, and you will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. So without further ado, let's jump into Crossover Thursday with Locked On Browns, the preview week 4.
It is Crossover Thursday on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Cleveland Browns and the Atlanta Falcons. We were just talking here before we actually kick things off. It's been 4 years, and it seems so much. It seems like it was so close, but yet so long ago. Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns. Garrett Bush, host of Locked On Browns. Mr. Aaron Freeman, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. We're going to sit it down here, talk a little bit about the matchups this week. We're going to get in a little bit some of the biggest stories of each team here. The 2-1 Browns, the 1-2 Falcons coming off a West Coast win here. Questions about, you know, I think the game should be okay, but we are talking about a hurricane, so stuff gets a little bit crazy here. It's going to be a fun matchup this week. And we're going to kick it off here. I'll start, go right into it as far as the biggest stories. You know, for me, Aaron, I look at this team and like what you're looking for as far as skill talent, you know, you're looking for top players around. Drake London, and I think this is where everybody got confused. There was no testing. So when there's no testing, people can try to display or build up their own narratives about what a player is and he isn't. Drake London looks the part. I think for Pitts, it's just been a little bit of more just trying to find a way to get the quarterback the right fit. Cordarrelle Patterson, are you stinking kidding me for what he's doing after all these years in his league? Highest yards per carry in the NFL currently. So some thoughts there on those guys. Of course, you know, as this team transitions, and then maybe just a thought or two on the quarterback position, because similar to some other teams in this league, you know, you brought in a veteran, but you brought in a rookie. And here we are yet to week 4, and it's still going to be the veteran, you know, leading this offense.
Yeah, it's been an interesting run for the Falcons so far in these first 3 weeks of the 2022 season. And when you look at some of these weapons that the Falcons have had and these guys getting off to some pretty promising starts, although, you know, the fantasy football community was pretty upset with the relatively slow start for Kyle Pitts in those first 2 weeks, but seemed to get things back on track in week 3. And Drake London has looked the part as the team's sort of number one wide receiver and the top wide receiver drafted. The quarterback situation, you know, Mariota's been solid for the most part. There's probably a little too many ups and downs for Falcon fans' taste. You know, I termed it the Mariota coaster, you know, a couple of weeks ago where it's just kind of you have to kind of live with those ups and downs as he kind of knocks off this rust so far. And I think it all sort of heads for this weekend's matchup where you're just trying to figure out if the Falcons are for real, right? And, you know, they're coming off their first win of the season after two very, very hard-fought and close losses in weeks one and two to the Saints and Rams. But they beat the Seahawks, again, another close game. It's nice to see this team being competitive against some of these quality opponents that they are facing so far this year. They'll get another one in the Browns this weekend, which was not the case a year ago, starting in 2021, where basically they were beating up on, or not beating up, but barely winning against bad teams and basically being not competitive at all against some of the better teams they faced in their schedule. And so I think this Browns team is really going to be a great litmus test to sort of see if the Falcons can build off of that to get their second win of the season, to possibly in a row. Because I look at this Browns team, you know, they're not necessarily an elite football team, but I think under Kevin Stefanski, they've become a very competent team. You know, he seems like a well-respected coach. I'm sure the people in Cleveland may perceive it differently because, you know, hometown fans always sort of see things a little bit differently than the outsiders do. But Stefanski's brought stability to an organization that really has sorely lacked it for the last 20 years. And I think the Falcons are trying to follow that, you know, suit with that with Arthur Smith here in Atlanta. And, you know, obviously the Falcons haven't necessarily had, you know, instability for, you know, as long as Cleveland has had. But certainly these last couple of years didn't turn out quite the way that Atlanta had drawn it up, where it seemed like they were one of the up and coming teams, you know, not that long ago. And, you know, ever since that Super Bowl loss, it just seems to be pointing down. And it's just, you know, can Arthur Smith sort of, you know, right the ship? And so far, starting out this 2022 season, even though the Falcons are 1-2, things look pretty good.
You know, Aaron, I look at it like this. You just said something that really, I think rings true. I can't really believe that, you know, at one point in time, you go from Matt Ryan being MVP, you go from them being in the Super Bowl and being up all those points against the New England Patriots, and then all of a sudden you are here where you are now. So to me, I think that's one of the things that shows you in an NFL that you could be at one place at one time, and then in a couple of years you could be on the other side of the barrel, so to speak, in terms of what you are viability as contenders. You know, that is just how quickly things change. And I look at this team, and the Falcons are rebuilding, but I think they're doing, you know, their new thing. Like before the Cleveland Browns, we really tanked. Like, you know, there was years Jeff was doing this podcast and we went through the 1-31 era with Hugh Jackson. You know, those teams were unbearable to watch. I mean, it just was what it was. I mean, it probably either killed off half the fan base early or gave them health problems, because it was just so hard to be a Browns fan, even wear your colors when you were tearing it down to the studs. I think Atlanta's doing a rebuild, but they're doing it on the run, so to speak. Marcus Mariota is a quarterback who can move a little bit. He's a former top five pick, and I think, you know, he has some things that he can do to make it tough on the defense as far as using the read option and using an extended plays. And then they got Kyle Pitts and now Drake London, who looks to be every part of a stud. So now they're trying to rehabilitate it, and you catch lightning in a bottle with Cordell Patterson. And for me, is how did they have the foresight of just putting Cordell Patterson at running back, and it just worked? When you first saw it in Atlanta, were you guys thinking like, "Come on, man, this is crazy"? He's a receiver at running back.
Yeah, it was unexpected. You know, a lot of hindsight says, "Oh, like we all saw it coming." Like, I don't think anybody really saw it coming. I don't even think the Falcons really saw it coming, because like a lot of people last summer were questioning the running back depth after Mike Davis, and they brought in Wayne Gallman right before the season. And so that kind of told you that the team wasn't 100% sold that, you know, Cordero Patterson would become the player that he was last season. But, you know, the thing that the Falcons, you know, their story now is that, like, they had a lot of coaches from that Chicago Bears staff, from that Matt Nagy staff that came over. And those guys were, you know, basically pounding the table for Cordero Patterson. And it's paying off for this team right now, like with their running game. And he's kind of the secret sauce to their offense. He's the foundation of their offense. That ability to run the football is really what's opening up so many other things for this offense. And I'm sure, you know, Browns fans are very familiar with that, with Nick Chubb and what he brings to the table for that team. You know, I'm very curious from your guys' perspective, what is sort of the big story this week? I imagine a lot of it is revolving around, you know, Myles Garrett's availability and some of the injury issues that the Browns are dealing with so far early in the season.
Oh, there's no question. And it's been a rocky week here. You know, Monday, you know, and, you know, the Browns had played Thursday. So, you know, by Monday, you know, we were kind of taxed out. It was like, all right, you know, we did our pod. We can kind of just, you know, lay low in the weeds, you know, catch up a little bit. You know, Garrett's married. I got a family. And then all of a sudden here, it was like 4 o'clock. It was like, oh no, Myles Garrett was in a car accident. We know, you know, and it was like, it's like, man, can we ever just turn it off? You know, but, you know, fortunately for the Browns, everything seems like it's turned out pretty well on that avenue. I mean, as far as when you say, you know, anybody was in a car accident and the car rolled over, and then you find out, hey, it's a couple of sprains and some cuts and bruises and some scrapes. It's like, well, okay, fantastic. But the Browns have always been cautious. And this is one thing Garrett and I talk about. Under this Stefanski-Barrett regime, there's been times where guys were probably good enough to go on a Sunday. And the Browns said, you want to know what? You know, I'd rather you 100% next week than maybe you 80% this week. To even fathom the thought process that, you know, Myles Garrett was in a car that flipped over once, twice. We don't even know. And they're going to let him go out there 6 days later. It seems kind of crazy. I'm not going to lie. I know they're providing all the great lip service right now as far as, you know, he's not out. And, you know, you got to do the dance. You got to do the dalliance, of course. So we'll see the way it plays out. But then he gets to the linebacker position. You know, it's one thing to lose Anthony Walker for the season. You know, when he was a guy, it was kind of like, you know, the big brother of the room. You know, everybody, you know, was getting better through Anthony Walker as far as due diligence, how to play the game, what you needed to do. But then, you know, now he's gone. But now you lose the guy who was potentially your best linebacker. And we don't know where Jeremiah Usu-Koromoa is as far as his injury, whether or not he'll be able to go this week. And for him, it's an opportunity to go play a game closer to home. So then you get to now Jacob Phillips, former LSU guy. And look, we got faith in Jacob Phillips. We think he's a player. But, you know, every time it seemed like the Browns were ready to lean on Jacob Phillips was when something happened and he got hurt or COVID and missed time. Then you have Tony Fields, another backup linebacker. But the Browns right now are in a spot where, you know, on the roster, they have three healthy defensive ends and four healthy linebackers. That's a tough spot to be in when we're about to, you know, go play a game in 4 days.
Oh, look, to me, I think the injuries are the huge part. You know, what is the game plan now against a mobile quarterback in Marcus Mariota where you don't have Jadeveon Clowney or possibly don't have him? You possibly are going to be without Myles Garrett. You got JOK, who's a little banged up as well. You don't know what the, the prognosis is on him. So now the guys that are your most athletic guys, your guys that can get after the quarterback and run sideline to sideline are not available. You're going against a quarterback that can use his legs, can hurt you with his legs. And so that presents a huge problem now if you have guys like Alex Wright and Isaiah Thomas. And if if you thought Isaiah Thomas was the basketball player, we do have a guy named Isaiah Thomas who plays defensive end. I would not – I don't begrudge you for not knowing that. But when you got names like that, you know, trying to contain Mariota and trying to, you know, get after Cordell Patterson and, stop him, it gives you a lot of pause on thinking – what the game plan is going to be from Joe Woods. He's going to have to mix up his game plan, bring some people, maybe be exotic a little bit and try to keep the Falcons off, off schedule. But to me, that is definitely one of the areas that we're looking at, the Browns defensive line and linebackers against that offense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I know Isaiah Thomas. I watched a little Oklahoma this past year, so I know a little bit thing about him.
Well, and the other thing is, which Isaiah Thomas from the NBA would he be? It is Crossover Thursday. We got Locked On Falcons. We got Locked On Browns. Jeff Lloyd, Garrett Bush, Aaron Freeman. You know, it's always good to do these episodes. It's kind of fun to sit down because, you know, Browns and Falcons don't play a lot. And it's weird because there's few people that have been around with Locked On as long as Aaron and I are. So when you play only once every 4 years to get to sit down and do this again, and so much has happened. between these franchises in that period. So it's crazy to see the way it works out. We're going to get back to it here, get down to a little bit of the matchups here and some things that, you know, Aaron's looking forward to see. And of course, Garrett and I are looking forward to see. Locked On Browns across over Thursday. BetOnline.net is your number one source for your football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sporting wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, the NFL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Well, guys, it's Crossover Thursday presented by Prize Picks. And, of course, Aaron Freeman here, Locked On Falcons, Jeff Lloyd, Garrett Bush, Locked On Browns. We're talking about this matchup. We've already talked a little bit about some of the injuries affecting this matchup for the Browns, especially the Falcons, relatively healthy at this point in time in the season. And that let's sort of kick things off there, because I'm looking at this Browns injury situation in their front seven, and I'm thinking, hey, you know, let's let the Falcons feed Cordero Patterson, feed Mariota, just get this run game going. Let's see between these two teams if they can kind of have a race to who can get the 200 yards rushing. And, you know, whoever can get there fastest or tack up the most yards, you know, probably will be the team that can control this game and potentially win this game. So I'm looking at, you know, the Garrett injury, the Clowney injury, JOK potentially. We already knew the Browns' interior D-line was not necessarily a strength of that football team. Even if they were fully healthy, you did like the Falcons' chances of being able to run the football potentially down their throats in that regard. And now you take out their two big-time edge rushers and potentially, you know, their most dynamic linebacker. And it feels like this is an opportunity for this Falcons running game to really put itself on the map this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I like what you said. A rush to 200 yards. I think you got the – I believe Cordero Patterson was number two in the league in rushing. I think Saquon Barkley is edging him by like two rushing yards. However, you know, you still got number one, number three in the mix. And obviously, Kareem Hunt is going to touch the football a lot as well. I think this game is really going to come down to who can make enough plays in the passing game. Can Mariota hit Drake London? Can he find Kyle Pitts? The Browns secondary has given up some yardage and has given up some big plays, especially in inopportune times. I look at a matchup that is kind of outside of the trenches, because I do agree with you. That's an area that the Browns, I don't believe, are the best at in this matchup, especially if Clowney and especially if Myles Garrett doesn't play. However, when you look on the outside, a receiver, you got Denzel Ward on Drake London. And obviously, you know, Denzel Ward is used to be and traditionally is a top 10 corner and playing like it. But you look at his PFF grades, they've slipped a little bit here in Cleveland. People have been on him. And what this doesn't look like the Denzel Ward we know. Now, he still has talent for small sample size, and he still has the ability to be that top 10 corner. He just has to play up to his capabilities and stop giving up missed assignments. But when you look at him and Drake London, Drake London is a big receiver, big body, moves a little better than I thought. Coming out of the draft, I thought he was more, a little more stiff than he is, but he's shown fluidity. I think between him and Chris Olave, they look, and Garrett Wilson, they're somewhat argued. They look like the best, you know, rookies at the position coming into this season. I'm anxious to see if Denzel Ward will, A, follow him through the field or lock on to him and say, hey, I got Drake London, this is what we're going to do, right? Or will they just play regular coverage and wherever Drake London is, whoever to have him, they'll have him. I'm interested to see how Denzel Ward in his secondary plays against those big targets in Kyle Pitts and Drake London.
Yes, I think that's a key matchup. You're right. I know, at least for my eyes, traditionally, I sort of like Denzel Ward a little bit more against those quicker, faster receivers than necessarily the bigger guys like Drake London. So I'm very curious to see if that lives up to the billing If you know Drake London can sort of feast on Denzel Ward, who's not off to the strongest start. Similarly, you know, AJ Terrell was not off to the strongest start in weeks one and two. And you know, this past
week, Aaron, just to jump in real quick, and this is actually funny because 2018, obviously Denzel Ward was a rookie, and at the time it was TJ Carey. He played a really good game. Like Julio Jones had like 11 for like 110, but TJ Carey was with him the entire game. And now here we are, and you know, you think Drake London maybe not the athletic freak that Julio was, but now we're actually having the same conversation. You know, would it be Denzel Ward? But you're totally 100% correct. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're 100% correct that this is really a matchup where the Browns are probably going to pass off from Denzel Ward.
Yeah, and you know, talking about how AJ Terrell played this past weekend, you know, he shadowed DK Metcalf. This past weekend, and at least when you know he was in man coverage against DK, really held him in check, held him basically two catches on basically seven targets, had three pass breakups in that game, and that was sort of a bounce back game for AJ Terrell, who had a little bit of a rough start, particularly when it came to some of those red zone plays against Michael Thomas and Allen Robinson in weeks one and two. And I'm very curious to see if the Falcons follow suit on that this weekend. Against Amari Cooper, right? You know, who's come on really strong, much to my chagrin, because he's on my fantasy bench. and so I kind of need Amari Cooper, you know. And so I'm sitting here hassling, okay, like, you know, AJ's coming off a really good game. He might keep Amari Cooper in check. So, you know, for selfish reasons, I'm wondering if he's going to be able to keep him contained for my fantasy football team. But I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup. And you know, Amari Cooper is one of the best receivers in the league and one of the best route runners in the league. And, you know, at least if AJ shows like what he showed in week three, you know, I feel like that matchup between him and Cooper favors the Falcons, at least relatively speaking, a little bit more than maybe the potential Ward matchup does in favor of Cleveland against Drake London. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I agree with you there, Aaron. The thing is it's just not really Denzel. Denzel, it's a quick thing. It's a footwork thing. And look, at the end of the day, you know, as guys who are around the game, covered the game, played the game, whatever it was, look, you know that there's certain calling cards you just don't have. Like, you just don't. You know, Martin Emerson is certainly a much better matchup for Drake London than Denzel Ward is. Greg Newsome is even a better matchup for Drake London than Denzel Ward is. And the other thing is if, you know, Drake London right now is basically the fire you're trying to put out. Denzel Ward, it's been a rough couple of weeks. I mean, you know, I know some people way up in arms. Look, I mean, look, anybody in the NFL can put together a bad month. It's the toughest of the tough. It's just the way it goes. Sometimes guys just, you know, when he's on the injury report, I don't think it's much, but I think it's more just like a, hey, you know, do what you got to do, get yourself ready, you know, for Sunday. And it certainly has been, you know, tough sledding, so to speak, for Denzel. You know, and, you know, Kyle Pitts certainly brings up another, you know, bag of issues as well, because the Browns historically have been bad against tight ends. They've been pretty good against tight ends to this point this season, but historically bad, and questions about the linebacker position. And Garrett and I were speaking today. Look, if you're light on linebackers, which the Browns very well could be going into this game Sunday, Joe Woods loves his safeties. So, you know, you already played Grant Delpit. You already played John Johnson III. You could see some Ronnie Harrison. Aaron, you could see former UGA Bulldog Richard LeCount get some reps this week, because the Browns, you know, their safeties are more athletic than the linebackers, but the size differential isn't enough where you're going to, you know, change it. And, you know, you may want to look for something like that too from the Browns secondary this week, because it's definitely going to be like a, you know, when your mom said, well, I got this ingredient, and I'm going to make something for dinner tonight. And, you know, and she was always good. It always came out slamming, as we all know. But it was definitely a little different or off the cuff. The thing I have, and look, you know, as far as Grady Jarrett, and anybody that listens to Locked On Browns, like, we have tried to put this guy in a Cleveland for a million stinking years. Just a really, really solid player. He's totally happy where he is. And it's almost similar to Joe Thomas in that. Like, I don't want to leave here. I like where I'm at. This is perfect for me. I'm getting the money I would get anywhere else. So, no, I'd rather not go anywhere else. But as far as the Browns' offensive line and their running game, because, you know, Aaron, look, the running games you have seen to this point are not the running game you're going to see this week. You know, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, this offensive line, whatever, you know, transitions they have to make or guys they have to move in and out, it just continuously seems to work for this offense as far as the running game keeping their cohesion.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm most worried about against this Browns team. It's just them just running it down the Falcons' throat. And if the Falcons do have that passing game advantage where they can get the ball to their playmakers like Drake London and like Kyle Pitts, you can keep that offense on the sideline by basically Nick Chubb just, you know, running through what has been a relatively soft front for the Falcons run defense so far this season. So, you know, I know many of Falcon fans certainly have been following Nick Chubb's career closely just from the Georgia ties. And certainly the last time we played the Browns, he has a couple of big highlight reel runs in that game. And so I think that's the thing that's sort of in the back of most Falcon fans' minds when they look at this matchup. So as I said earlier, you know, it could be a race to 200 yards on the ground for both of these teams.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I think this is a fun game because, you know, there's a lot of unknowns here, right? And we are the last 1 o'clock game. Like, they got the D team. They got the F broadcasting team on this one. Who's calling the game? So
Tiki's an ass. Tiki Barber is an ass. Well, it's good though. At least we got somebody who's good running back to talk about a lot of running.
So, you know, this is for the diehards. You know, they're going to show this in two markets, in Cleveland and Atlanta. So if you're outside of the market, I'm sorry, you're not going to get much. But I'm interested to see how it goes because this is a throwback game. This reminds me of 80s style football where it's runs and a few play actions, and then we'll see whose running back is better.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that sort of matchup, you know, could make it for some interesting final scores as we continue. Today's Crossover Thursday presented by Prize Picks here with Locked On Falcons and Locked On Browns. And we'll wrap you guys up, you know, give you sort of the final lowdown as we head into this weekend's matchup. But before we get there, you know, the internet can be the place for epic fails. You know, maybe that's getting stiff-armed to death by Nick Chubb or maybe getting mossed by Kyle Pitts. But you don't want your epic fails to go plastered all over the internet, like such as, you know, you're getting down on one knee to that significant other in front of 20,000 people and she says no, or, you know, you're on a boat somewhere and, you know, that ring slips off someone's finger and winds up in the water. You don't want to see yourself go viral for the wrong reasons. And while there's no insurance to prevent that special someone from saying no to you, there is protection to keep that ring from winding up in the wrong place. And people at Bright Cold Jewelry and Watch Insurance will make sure that you get the replacement for the full value of your ring. It only takes a few minutes. It's $5 a month to make sure that no matter if your jewelry is lost and stolen or you just can't figure out what happened to it, you have it covered. Just go to bright.co/lockedon. It's the fastest, easiest, and cheapest way to cover your butt with the best jewelry insurance in the business. Again, that's Bright, BRITE.co/lockedon.
Welcome back to the Locked On NFL Crossover. This week, Atlanta Falcons versus the Cleveland Browns. And obviously, it must be a Thursday on Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Networks. This is, of course, sponsored by Prize Picks, prizepicks.com. And definitely check that out at your own leisure. Guys, we talked about the matchups. We talked about, you know, a few key places that we think each other could give each other a little bit of problems. Now it's time to get to our final thoughts and kind of overarching themes to this game. For me, guys, I look at it in terms of the quarterbacks. We talked about them a little bit, but both guys, journeymen, so to speak, both guys played for other teams, both guys bounced around the league a little bit, and both guys looking for resurgence in their career. You look at it from Marcus Mariota. And you look at Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has played very well the last two games. And here in Cleveland, people are like kind of surprised. Like, hey, what the heck is Jacoby Brissett doing now? This isn't the guy we thought he was going to be. So he's a guy who now we talked about earlier in a couple of our shows, Aaron, me and Jeff are like, we thought the defense was going to be the calling card for this team with Myles Garrett and some of those big name people. And now all of a sudden, you might be asking Jacoby Brissett to hold you down for a little bit, you put some points on the board. So for me, it's going to come down in the running games to me could be a wash. It could be, you know, hey, they're going to get some yards on the ground. We're going to rack up some yards on the ground. It's going to come down to if Jacoby Brissett Marcus Mariota, when you need a third down conversion, when you need to put the game away with maybe a couple throws at the end, which one of those guys do you have capabilities that you have, you know, confidence in that's going to be able to make those throws if they are backup level quarterbacks, which both of them are? And I think it comes down to that eventually. Your thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, I don't think Falcon fans want to hear you say that, because the last time the Falcons faced Jacoby Brissett back in 2019 when he was with the Colts, he absolutely cooked the Falcons defense in that game. I think he completed like 75% of his passes. He had over 300 yards receiving, two touchdowns in that game. And basically the Falcons made it so easy for Jacoby Brissett to look like, oh, this guy's a real starter. This is not a backup. This is a real starter the last time he faced him. So I don't think Falcon fans want to see a repeat of that. And so if it comes down to Jacoby Brissett, at least with the lasting memory he's made to Falcon fans' eyes, and then Marcus Mariota, which is the memories that he has made in Falcons fans' eyes these past 3 weeks. As I said earlier, he's been solid this year, but it's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster. You get some of these very untimely turnovers, fumbles, interceptions late in games. And if that continues this weekend, that does not bode particularly well for the Falcons if it's going to come down to, hey, this guy needs to make a play in the fourth quarter in order for this football team to win the game. That hasn't necessarily been the case in these first three games for the Falcons. And so that is not necessarily a promising sign. So I'm hoping it's just a Nick Chubb versus Cordero Patterson duel. And ultimately Cordero Patterson will be the guy that can the Falcons can lean on to get them the W on Sunday.
Well, it's kind of funny you said that, because, you know, week two, a lot of people were saying, hey, as long as Joe Flacco doesn't beat us, I think we're going to be all right. But you give a man enough time, you know how it's going to work out. I think for the Browns, the key thing this week is I think the Browns kind of can have a little bit of a rallying cry moment, you know, with everything and as nervous as everybody was with Miles and understanding the tension right now. Look, I mean, you know, we haven't even mentioned his name, but the Browns are about to get one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL to this team in December. But you're talking about guys that are bridging the gap. And now that you're 2-1 and you smell the chance that maybe you could be 3-1, which is going to give you another week on top of the AFC North, you know, is this team going to be able to rally around this and say, look, you know, and keeping also in mind that you look at the Charger game, the Patriot game, and maybe they're not as daunting as they once looked, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. So for the Browns here, it's, you know, if you want some teams to, you know, continue feeling legitimate about this current product, go out there and get this one. And there also is the factor of all the stuff you may be trying to rally around the fact that Myles Garrett won't play, trying to cover your superstar. But there's a lot of guys on this Browns team who have some pretty good ties to this area, you know, from the South, you know, whether it's Nick Chubb, whether it's LeCount, you know, there's plenty of players here, you know, the LSU ties. You only get one trip every couple of years to go near the area where you're from. So you want to go show out. So there's a lot on the Browns, and it would certainly be disappointing if this team, you know, went in there and at least didn't give a great showing. You lose, you lose. Sometimes you lose. That's the way it is. But if they went in there with all of these factors equated into it and didn't go in there with a strong showing, yeah, a lot of people would be really concerned about this product over the next 8 weeks.
Yeah, it's a similar story with the Falcons. Obviously, you know, I know the Browns kind of went into the season until all the sort of suspension stuff with sort of playoff aspirations, and they see themselves as a playoff team. And as Garrett mentioned earlier, you know, the Falcons are in the midst of a rebuild, but, you know, they're looking at some things coming up. Like, you know, I talked about this yesterday on Locked On Falcons, where, like, you asked me a month ago, I would have sat here and said there's no chance that the Falcons are going to be able to beat a team like Tampa Bay in week 5 or San Francisco in week 6 or Cincinnati in week 7. And now we sit here and we go, hey, look, those games look a lot more winnable today than they did a month ago. And, sure, you know, if you're a Falcon fan, you're kind of looking at this thing where, okay, well, if we have any, you know, not to look ahead to the next matchups, but if this team is a legitimate team, you know, a team that can really be competitive week in and week out, as they've shown these last couple of games, you know, this is kind of a game, I won't say a must win or anything like that, but you expect this team to be able to take care of business against a down Browns team that's a little beat up, that, you know, some of your strengths as a running football team, you know, match up pretty favorably against their weaknesses, at least heading into this week due to the injuries. And you're at home and you want to build that sort of home field advantage, where the Falcons, since they moved in to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, from the Georgia Dome, just really haven't had that same home field advantage. And so I, you know, again, not a must win, but certainly a game where you feel pretty good that, it, hey, the, you know, the Falcons have a golden opportunity to really take care of business on Sunday.
You know, I think it's going to be one of those things where you just mentioned you'll find out on Sunday. We'll know a lot more about each of these teams on Sunday, because like you said, you know, if the Falcons want to be known as a team that is taking that step, making those strides, you think that you can win this game at home. You got it at home. There's no Myles Garrett. You got Amari Cooper, but, you know, you're not really worried about any of the secondary guys. No Jadeveon Clowney, and the defensive line room was already kind of banged up, and they were kind of soft in the middle anyway. Linebackers are gone. So you feel like you can run the football, and when you're at home coming off a win, this is a game that as a Falcons fan, you say, all right, well, this is a barometer. Let's see how real you guys are. Same thing for the Browns. Adversity hits, adversity strikes. You got a lot of players down. This is going to be a game that you see exactly what your team is. Because great teams, when I always talk about it, is when you watch the Patriots and the consistent teams like the Ravens or the consistent teams like the Chiefs, they always seem to find a way to get it done no matter who's out. They can continue to find a way to score points and stop people. And I think this is going to really show you whether or not the Browns are truly, truly, truly a contender if they can win through some of this adversity and different things like that. Jeff, go ahead and wrap us up, man.
And one other thing is, you know, you look at the Browns, 2-1. You look at the Falcons, 1-2. Aaron, anybody think the Seattle Seahawks are going to the playoffs? Nope. Browns fans, anybody think that the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Carolina Panthers are going to the playoffs? So your records are your records, but, you know, you haven't really truly played anybody just yet. But you try to stack together those wins, you know, just put it together. And the one thing that both these teams have done consistently at this point is score points. And you know what? You score points, sometimes things will bounce back into your favor. Aaron Freeman, host of Locked On Falcons. Aaron's been with the network forever. Like me, he's a lifer. You know, we got our own separate lockers. They're old now. We actually get new master locks like they just wore out from rust over the years. Garrett Bush, part of Locked On Browns. Garrett's been a great addition. I cannot say enough good things about him and the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. And Aaron, Locked On Atlanta, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so for us, you know, the Browns fans, Garrett's show, Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Aaron is part of the Atlanta show, very similar, always talking all the topics. I'm going to be nice to Aaron. We're not even going to talk about Braves, Mets this weekend. There's enough here with just Browns, Falcons. We're just going to let all that just marinate. We'll see where we're at after the weekend. It's always a pleasure to sit down and do these because, you know, we have a big network here. We don't get to sit down with everybody and talk as much as we would love to because, and the other thing is we all have lives and a bunch of other things we got to do. So we're looking forward to this. So Falcons, Browns, Sunday in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as Aaron said, you know, for everybody in the area, surrounding areas, weather-wise, you know, fingers crossed, hope everything works out for everybody. You know, we're not trying to, you know, downplay anything, but, you know, we do have a job to do, and there will be a game played Sunday. And, you know, we got to do our job and talk about it here. Browns, Falcons, a lot of names, a lot of good players. We'll see the way it all plays out. It's always a pleasure to do these crossovers. Locked On NFL crossover, Locked On Falcons, Locked On Browns. We appreciate everybody for being along for the ride today.